Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Patrick O'Donnell, my colleague of many years, who is an author and historian, Patrick O'Donnell, and it is June 6th, 2021. Again and again and again, it is June 6th, 1944. And I listened to the CBS broadcast from that night, the night of the 5th to the 6th, when German radio is quoted on the short wave picked up in New York, as saying that the invasion is here. About 12:30 at night, 12:30 in the morning, New York time, June 6th. That event is always fixed in my imagination because my father was there. However, Patrick, who was not there, who was not present, is an historian, took us there with his book, Dog Company, The Boys of Bointoac, the Rangers who accomplished D-Day's toughest mission and led the way across Europe. On June 6th, the battlefield was more than 50 miles wide. There were different beaches assigned to different units, the British, the Canadian, the French, and all of that depended upon the ability for the landing craft and the ships that brought them near to shore to survive the first hours. The concern was that the Axis had set up very good, very big guns at Bointoac, which is to the west of the battlefield, pointing down at where the ships would be. So a special ranger unit was given the task of going straight up a cliff and assaulting those guns and putting them out before the landing craft reached the beaches. That's the story that Patrick tells. Patrick, a very good evening to you. I recommend to everyone the audiobook. You can listen to it while you're commuting. These many years later, you published this several years ago. What do you remember most about Dog Company? Good evening to you, Patrick.
Good evening, John. I knew the men of Dog Company. They were my friends, John, and I miss them. And that was a special bond. Leonard Lamel, who was the man that actually disabled the guns on Bointoac, there were six. He disabled five of them with thermite grenades, was a very close friend of mine, along with many of the other members, these Rangers. I began interviewing people, John, when I got out of college in 1992. And I've interviewed thousands of World War II veterans, and my focus was on the elite units, the Rangers and the Airborne. And I got to know these men very, very well and personally. They were my daughter's now 21 years old, but these were her uncles as she grew up. And these are just extraordinary individuals.
What was their mission on that morning of June 6th?
They had the most difficult mission on D-Day. They had to knock out six large guns that were positioned near Bointoac, they were on the point, but they were not in the casemates that they thought they were in. They were in an apple orchard, about 800 yards away from the tip of Bointoac, and their job was mission impossible, John. They had to assault Bointoac, and then climb up a 90-foot cliff, the sheer cliff, under direct machine gun fire. Stick grenade fire, and then they had suspended IEDs. There were old artillery shells around the base of the cliff. And their mission on D-Day was to charge up this cliff with grappling hooks and then find the guns. And the top of the cliff, John, was a maze. It was a bunkered positions. There were tunnels. There were all kinds of bunkers with anti-aircraft guns. There were many machine guns up there. They had to fight their way through this maze of bunkers and tunnels, as well as the whole thing was a moonscape because it was the most heavily bombed objective on D-Day, and literally there were massive craters that still exist.
They're still there. You can visit Guadalcanal, and you can walk through the craters. More than 70 years later, they're hardly overgrown. Now, your story begins on June 6th, but the amazing part of Dog Company is that it is not relieved for several days, and it is the focus of the counterattack of the Germans. How do they hold out, Patrick?
They barely hold out. The Germans, Pointe aux Hoc is basically astride. It's directly in the center of Omaha. Omaha Beach is on in Utah Beach, and it's this rocky peninsula that juts out. And they put the Germans had placed the guns there because they could hit either beachhead or even potentially the guns were large enough to hit ships out at sea, and they wanted to get rid of it at all costs. They bombed the hell out of it. They shore bombarded it. Nothing worked though. So the plan was to send in the Rangers, and there were several elements of the 2nd Ranger Battalion that were designated to this, but as well as the entire 5th Ranger Battalion.
Which never got there, but that's
in another important part.
Yeah, because the 5th Rangers managed to land on Omaha and were critical for the assault on Omaha on that day. But I want to stay with the 2nd Rangers because the pleasure of reading your book is, oh, there's a day 2, there's a day 3, there's a day 4. And the Germans were persistent. They wanted the position back. I guess they thought they could get the guns in order and attack the Americans who were landing on the beaches.
Well, they thought they could snuff out this Ranger force. And the Rangers' objective was first to disable the guns and then also to cut the shore road that ran across the top of Pointe aux Hoc that connected Omaha and Utah Beach. So the Rangers had disabled the guns with thermite grenades. They blew up the ammunition stores that were nearby, and then they proceeded to their secondary objective, which was to dig in near the shore road. And they did that. And it was the Germans, in typical style, they immediately counterattacked.
Right.
And they assembled a fairly large force. I mean, several hundred strong, and they assaulted the defenders of Pointe aux Hoc, which were dug in along the shore road, but also inside the bunkers. And then the bunkers themselves, the Rangers had never been able to clear out all those bunkers because there were still guys fighting. So they had the force attacking, and then they had guys in those bunkers still that were attacking them. And this was a fight for their lives. There was a Royal commando that was assigned. It was a colonel, lieutenant colonel, assigned to the Rangers who had fought in North Africa and everything else. And, you know, that night, the commander of the force, Rudder, asked him what, you know, he thought. He's like, I never felt like I was going to be captured or overrun in my entire life. And separate at that point, he really didn't think that they were going to make it. And it was that bad. The position.
Why did it take so long for the reinforcements to arrive, the connection to arrive from Omaha? What was the delay?
Well, because they were fighting for their lives as well. I mean, Omaha was a bloodbath, and it was it took time to make their way several miles off of Omaha Beach which they had to fight off of. And then they had to fight their way to, through a lot of Germans to make their way to the Rangers at Pointe aux Hoc. And there's an interesting story in there. The relief force, the Rangers were so badly beat up in terms of their ammunition was low too. They had to use captured German weapons, and they got their hands on some of the best MG-42s, which could fire, 1200 rounds a minute. They were using MG-42s to repel the Germans that were attacking them. But the relief force thought that they were actually fighting Germans, but they were Americans. And the two groups literally fought one another for a bit. And, the Rangers said that they never had – it was never tougher to fighting other Rangers, literally, because they thought that they were fighting the Germans. They had all these captured weapons.
I'm visiting with Patrick O'Donnell on June 6th, to remember June 6th, 1944. The occasion also is a conversation that Patrick and I have greatly enjoyed over his new book, The Indispensables, which is the story of the American Revolution, a.k.a. the American Civil War, between 1774 and 1777. And that will be soon enough on the show. But I could not get past June 6th without talking to Patrick about his book and also about the fact that Patrick and I have been friends for many years, and I've watched Patrick's books over the years. And after he came back from Iraq, I was in correspondence with him, and I was in New York doing the radio on June 6, 2004, the 60th anniversary of the D-Day landing. And that night, Patrick joined me on air, and we talked to my father, who, like Patrick's friends at Dog Company, were veterans of D-Day. My father was in Omaha Beach, the one that was threatened by those guns at Pontiac. He was Gap Assault 13, which is the far part, the left side of Omaha Beach with the 1st Division. And my memory is that Patrick and I were talking to Dad about how it was that day, and he corrected us by reminding us that it was much messier than we thought it was. that our organized way of saying this unit landed here, this unit landed there, had no bearing in reality from what he remembered, a total nightmare. Which is why Patrick's book on Dog Company also reminds us that just like Eisenhower said, Patrick, you make a plan and the first time you meet the enemy, you tear it up and start all over again.
Right, John. I mean, it's just talking to your father and then all these other incredible World War II veterans, just letting their voices speak to bring you back to those, you know, crucial inflection points. Just so important. And I remember just, you know, we did scores of interviews with World War II veterans that I had interviewed in Dog Company and then also Beyond Valor, my other book, or Operative Spies and Saboteurs, where we brought on the great members of the OSS that also fought in D-Day. Just special times to preserve the voices of these extraordinary Americans.
June 6, 1944, June 6, 2021. Dog Company is the book. Easy enough. The Boys of Pontiac, the Rangers who accomplished D-Day's toughest mission and led the way across Europe, day two, day three, day four, day five. Patrick O'Donnell is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.